We Like Dota is brought to you by the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like TL Cone, Nine Eggs, Justin, Lonnie, Rusty, Dr. Carmack, Mitchell Metzler, Clint Bach, Demento, Alihu, Dandy Russ, Carl Underwood, Can Dashel, Flossen, and Titus Andromedon. To join these generous patrons, just go to our website at www.welikedota.com and follow the links to the Patreon. Episode 190 starts now. Hello, and welcome to We Like Dota, episode 190.
I'm Sam the Plaid Pirate, and I am joined by Jim J. Bullock. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Sam. Hello, everyone.
We are also joined by Retro Ent, a.k.a. Arian. Arian, hello.
Hey.
Well, I'm very glad you boys could join us. We've had a lot going on in Dota these past couple of days. So, Jim, tell us. How was your week in Dota?
Oh, it was exciting. I played so much Dota this weekend. My wife took the kids to her sister's. I had some stuff to do on Sunday morning, so I wasn't able to go, which meant Saturday night and some of Sunday afternoon was devoted to Dota. I played a lot. Yeah, it was great. I played a lot of Turbo Cavern. Just trying to get through the cavern quests. I have, like, on the core one, the carry one, there was just, like, a line of comfort heroes leading to the set, so I was just able to grab it. But on support, I got stuck at Winter Wyvern. yeah, she's a great hero. She scales really well.
She's a great hero.
Everybody underestimates the amount of harass she could put out in lane. I think like every game I played with her, we got first blood. She even scales pretty well, so I thought in turbo she'd be really good. But it was really, really hard. I lost a whole bunch of Wyvern games. And then on Sunday afternoon, eventually I just gave up and did other heroes. But then on Sunday afternoon, I'm playing with... Uranium Heart, Nick, and Hot Dog. And they're going to pick carries. So I'm like, all right, I'm finally going to get my Wyvern thing done. So I go and play Wyvern. And it's going well, as it always does with Wyvern. And then...
Wait, stop it. You can't just, like, say this stuff.
Yes.
Wyvern it's going is well, as it always does with Wyvern. That is just not remotely true.
Wyvern's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate your, I appreciate that you're sticking with it, but come on. Wyvern is not.
I think I gotta stick with Sam here. Wyvern is a terrible hero.
No, the Q, the Arctic Burn, it does percentage damage, and no one expects it. So you throw it out, like one cast of it removes like 30% of your opponent's hit points.
And you just hit... possibly be true. I'm looking this up, doing some live research. But continue, please.
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna look it up too. And then the Splinter Blast. Nobody figures how much range it's gonna have. She has a ton of slows. I mean, the Savior thing is okay. The one that encases you in ice and heals you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It's really useful if there's like an LC or something or a PA who jumps on an ally. But, like, at the beginning of every game, like I said, just fantastic performance. But Winter's Curse is really hard to use.
It's impossible.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the game with Nick and Hot Dog, we're up against, like, Lycan, Sven, SF. And they're pushing down all our towers, and they take our mid-racks, and we're fighting in our base. And I come out with a Winter's Curse. I write on someone, and obviously the team, like their team, just like shredded the guy to pieces. Gave us a chance to reset, and we basically won. And Nick's like, "Wow, that Winter's Curse pretty much just won us the game." I said, Many teammates died to bring you that winter's curse, Nick.
That's right.
I threw many, many terrible winter's curses over the, like, 5 losses I had with her. Just for that one.
I think that's pretty much Dota hell, being forced to play Winter Wyvern for 5 games.
Wyvern's amazing, and Wyvern's so good later on.
Okay, I think Wyvern's only redeeming factor is her ult, and the rest of her skill set is just terrible. Because the percentage burn on her Q is current health, so that means, sure, when they're full health, it's okay, but it's gonna get worse and worse as long as the fight progresses. I'm sorry. Also, her W is very unreliable, because if there's no one nearby and you just want to pick somebody off or something, it literally does nothing to them. And her heal is good in theory, but I mean, it has, Jim already said it, it has its niche uses, for example, if you're getting jumped by LC or something. But in a lot of cases, an enemy team jumps on somebody, in theory they would need a 4-star or something, but you cold embrace them, then they heal for a couple of seconds, but then they're surrounded by the whole enemy team because they can't move and are basically stunned. So I feel like really her only good skill is her ult.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But
her
ult is good.
The ult is good, but I don't know. I think I'm going to defend Winter Wyvern here. Like, Arctic Burn, yeah, like if you start off the lane, right, and 2 people show up in lane, you cast Arctic Burn once, hit them each once, and they lose about 30% of their health. Splint, at higher levels, it does a 40% movement slow. And if you upgrade it with the talent, it does a 55% movement slow. That's a percentage slow. And, you know, you cast it, like, you hit it, right-click each of their heroes once, and they're losing 9% of their health each second for 5 seconds and have a 55% movement slow for 5 seconds.
I mean, sure.
That's wild.
I'm not saying, like, Arctic Burn is a terrible skill. I'm just saying it's not as good as a lot of other support's kind of control abilities. And her W is just very unreliable. That's why I think she's a bad hero. And she's fairly good in lane, but after the laning phase, she really only has an ult and has to buy utility items in order to help her team.
Well, that's entirely too much Winter Wyvern talk for one podcast.
Hero of the week, done.
Hero of the week is over. Winter Wyvern, if you're Jim, you play her, especially if you've had a couple drinks in the afternoon.
Yep.
As I remember, Jim and I played a couple games together while his wife was away, and he may or may not have had some adult beverages, so that spiced some things up. So, 10 of 10 would recommend. What else went on this week, Jim, for you and Dota?
Well, in the course of my turbo caverning, I discovered the secret to winning all your Dota games.
Okay. This sounds promising.
Yeah, this is a special message to our listeners. You're welcome in advance. I was listening to the Dire Times podcast a while ago, and they were talking about what music they listen to while they play. And I don't even remember the context of the setup to it, but someone mentioned the B-52s, not as something that they actually listened to. And I just thought it was hilarious, the idea that someone would, like, fire up Love Shack to, like, get themselves ready to play a competitive game. Yeah, like, I mean, it's just totally absurd, right?
Okay.
So at some speaking point of, on Sunday...
Speaking of Dota hell...
So at some point on Sunday, I pulled up in Spotify some B-52s albums to play Dota. And I have not lost since I started listening to the B-52s.
Incredible. I've won
6 consecutive games. So, obviously, I mean, that's it. All you need is the B-52s. And also, if I had all the money in the world, I would pay whatever charity he wants. I would donate for Fred Schneider, the lead singer of the B-52s, to do an announcer pack for Dota.
Oh,
I think it would
geez.
Be perfect.
Oh, jeez.
And he'd never lose.
Aaron, do you even know this band that we're talking about?
I'm not even going to pretend like I know B-52s. I'm sure, like, their heyday was 15 years before I was born.
Yes. Yes. And
that's quite actually possible, yeah.
as such, we should take that and move along. I have nothing else to say about this, Jim.
All right. Well, hey, I mean, if you guys want to go into your games unsure if you will win or lose, it's fine by me. me and Fred are going to go rank up and solo queue.
Good. Whatever you need to do, buddy, to get your W's. That's all. That's all that's important, is getting those sweet, sweet MMRs. Arian, how about you?
Yeah, I had a fairly chill week in Dota. I had actually the whole last week, I had no school and nothing really to do. So I decided I'm going to go for solo queue grind. And after about 4 hours of trying to grind solo queue, I gave up because I tilted.
GG.
And because I wanted to reach Legend 1 for a long time now. And I just didn't manage to do it because in my first game, I had like Terrorblade jungles, which is extremely tilting. And in the second game, I wanted to pick carry. Then a guy picks Lark and marks my lane. So I naturally pick a support so we like have a chance at winning. And then he starts flaming me for not picking a carry because he wanted to pick Slark support to support me on Slark. And he flames me for not knowing that. So I was just super tilted and decided I'm going to stay at Archon 4 for the rest of my life. But then I discovered the rank challenge tokens. I think those were kind of like, I didn't really think about them a lot when the battle pass released, but I think those are the best thing ever right now in terms of reward you're getting from the battle pass. So it's basically you queue as a 5-stack, which was me, 2 Flakes, friend of the show Graylin, and 3 friends of hers, and you face people who are much better than you. So we faced almost exclusively Divine or ancient, like really high ancient players. So it's really hard to win. But if you manage to win, you get 100 group MMR, which is a guaranteed badge upgrade. And if you lose, you only lose 5 MMR. Hmm. So I basically had 2 Flakes carry me through because he plays he plays way better than his badge. Like he's ancient 4, but he should theoretically be a Divine player, but he just never solo queues. So yeah, he carried me through that. I'm a Legend 0 player now. I kind of don't feel like I deserve it, to be honest, because these tokens are really imbalanced, but...
So you boosted.
It's like, this is actually better than boosting, and it's legal. Like,
so what you're telling me is that 2 Flakes boosted your account.
Yeah. 2 Flakes boosted my account, and I can't get banned for it. That's the best thing.
Incredible.
Yeah, but so, my question with that is, like, now do you play against players much higher than the ones you used to play with?
Nah, because even though the badge is unified, I just get a better badge, basically, and I get queued against harder opponents while 5-stacking or while playing party. But my, like, in solo games, I still have the same MMR, but I get a higher badge, basically. So even though I'm at, like, 2.8k solo right now, I still have the Legend badge, but I would still be queued with 2.8k average players when I play solo queue.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, I wanted to play Battle Cup. Like, I wanted to repeat our weekly Battle Cup loss with Jim this Saturday, but Jim ditched me because I'm Legend 0 now. Which forced me to play Tier 6 Battle Cup, which is like high ancient MMR, and I lost horribly. But I feel like actually the pre-Battle Cup cavern crawls we three did were really enjoyable. I think that was actually the high point of my weekend order, because I just had a lot of fun grinding cavern and seeing Jim trying to play Viren. And you already touched on that, Sam. We had a Dota alcohol question. I think I now know why Jim usually sticks to one beer. One beer, like, I don't even notice it, but 2 beer, he starts flaming, he starts cursing. You don't know this guy with 2 beer or something.
I can confirm, Jim was getting wild.
he was like, he started flaming me so hard.
Flaming me, flaming his teammates, flaming the other team. It just didn't matter. He was a wrecking ball. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
And then the cursing. Holy shit.
Was it bad? I didn't notice that.
I felt like I never hear Jim curse. Like, when I play with people who, like, often curse, it's not noticeable. But people like Jim who never curse, if they curse one, you're like, whoa, what did you just say? Whoa.
It's very serious.
Yeah. Okay. So, Sam, how was your week in Dota?
My week in Dota, it's funny that you guys said that that was your most enjoyable time. Because for me, I was just like so... this week in Dota has been very frustrating. Not really because of Dota, just because I have a lot going on in my life at this moment. So I'm...
He's getting married.
Yeah, I'm getting married. I just started a new job. I tore the bathroom out of my house, so I don't have a shower. So it's been rough. But you know what's not rough? Is that we're going to have a live show here at the end of June. On June 24th. That's the date, right, Jim?
Yes, June 24th at 1 p.m. in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
Those suckers said yes, so we're going. Philadelphia, friends. Philadelphia. Yeah. We're going to be there. Adriana's going to be there. Jim's going to be there. And I hope a bunch of you can join us. 1 o'clock. I think you said it's at a bar, right?
It's at a location called the Tattooed Mom on at 530 South Street.
That's how I like my moms. And yeah, I mean, if you're under 21, it's pretty probable that you could get in because it's at 1 o'clock. So long as you're not trying to consume alcoholic beverages, probably wouldn't be too big of a problem. We'd love to see everybody. And I think Saturday night we'll probably try to hang out with listeners in another setting in case you can't get there for Sunday. I know I'll be there Saturday, so we can hang.
Also, guys, if you even remotely have the chance, please go, because you can't imagine my sadness, me be living in Germany where I am and the Philadelphia podcast being where it is. Can't imagine my sadness not being able to go. So you have the chance, so use it.
We're really great to hang out with, so...
Yeah, sure. Just don't let Jim drink 2 beers at the bar, or it's going to end in a disaster.
No, I'll keep a close eye on him. Actually, I would love to do a pod with 2 beer Jim. He'd be going so wild.
Maybe it's better, yeah. It'll be, it's like a performance-enhancing substance.
Oh, boy. All right, Jim... Why don't you tell us, do we have a theme Thursday picked out for next week?
Yes, we do.
Do you want to just run through that real quick, and then we'll get into the meat of the news?
Yeah, no problem. We have 2 games scheduled for this week. The first is No Point in Running, which is going to be between Dodge This, which is Heroes with True Strike, against Wait For It, which is Heroes with Damage Over Time. I think those are fairly long lists, so you know, go check on DotaTheme.com.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And then the second game is two of my favorite themes, theoretically, just in the sense that like there's such deep pulls from the game itself, is Voice Actor Battle. So it's all heroes voiced by Nolan North versus all heroes voiced by John Patrick Lowry. There apparently are enough heroes in the game that are voiced by the two different voice actors. So they are going to face off this Thursday. Should be pretty fun. Again, check those at DotaTheme.com.
And do you want to give us a quick update on who won from last week?
Yeah, that sounds good. You and I played together the eyewear draft against a pub.
That's right.
Yeah, we were able to win with our bespectacled boys. And then we played, the community played a couple 5v5s together. One was Protect the Princess, which I had plugged last week. The princess did not need protecting, it turns out. The dragons plus Morana ran over the Knights. It's the Knights' first loss, actually, in all of Theme Thursday. And then we just rolled some random matchups, and we got Cloven Feet versus Beards. And Beards was particularly good. So we were joined by some of the guys from Zombie Panda Studios, which is another podcasting group. You know, they're just like nice people who are kind of involved in the same stuff we are. So I invited them over to see if they wanted to play on Theme Thursday. And we ended up running Beards, ended up being Ricky, Storm, Pangolier, and Spiritbreaker. And Ricky bought an Ag Scepter. And so jumped into Pangolier, Spiritbreaker, and Storm at various points. And that was not fun at all for the Cloven Feet team. So Beards was able to prevail in a pretty goofy draft, position one Ricky. But
yeah, that's what Theme Thursday is all about.
Yeah, but man, it was something else when it was going on. My computer just like slowed to a crawl when Pocket Ricky was rolling around inside the Pangolier.
All right. Well, speaking of some very competitive Dota, we have a bunch of news this week. ESL Birmingham happened. Aaron, any thoughts on give us a summary of the Birmingham?
I'm not gonna comment on Liquid because I think you know my theory. I mentioned that a while ago.
Yes.
Liquid is going low profile right now, so they can clean sweep TI. on your serious notes, VP looked like the best team in the world. Period. And not like by a small margin, by a huge margin. They didn't lose a single game in the whole tournament.
Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah, not bad.
How often does that happen? I feel like that basically never happens. You always drop a series here or there, but they literally didn't drop a single game. So yeah, VP was looking amazing. I think Optic had a really good run, but also, I think PPD actually tweeted that the format was pretty weird in a sense. So they just had to win, I think, two series and they were guaranteed top four already. So I think I don't want to take away from like the performance of Optic because they looked really good. But I think the format played into their hands. It's basically just like best of one tournaments favoring like smaller teams who are actually not that good because the luck factor is there.
All right. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Optic still, you know, won their region, their group. They 2-1 Mineski. They beat Newbie, who looked okay at the last tournament they played in. Knocked out Fnatic. But yeah, VP were just, you know, you can't ask for any more than literally winning every game that you play.
Yeah, it's a perfect performance by them. I'm going to look up here. So yeah, I think they only had to win two series and they're guaranteed top four in a major. Whereas in other majors like DAC, you would have to get through a lot harder group stage with a lot more teams and then play a lot more than just three best of threes to actually get top four and get points, and you're playing for the same points. But I think that's due to a lot of ESL events this year originally not being planned as minors, as majors, because I remember that from ESL 1 Hamburg it was planned as a minor, but because of the new system they just got major status and still only had 8 teams. So yeah, it was just unfortunate, but I kind of like it sometimes because maybe that gave I like Optic. And I think that gave them a lot more fans because there were a lot of great teams attending that and they didn't, like, that's the real thing about the tournament. Attending that tournament was Liquid, LFY, and OG. And Optic had to play, I think, Pain and Fnatic, and that's already guaranteed top four, which is kind of weird.
Well, no, they played Newbie and Mineski to get to top four, and they beat Newbie and Mineski, and then once they got to top four they had to play in order Fnatic in the semis and then VP in the finals.
Sure, but like they are, because of the format, they were just able to bypass a lot of the great teams, which seems kind of weird to me, but anyway. So what were
it was definitely unfortunate the way it was structured.
What stood out to you, Jim, in the tournament?
I don't know. I mean, just Virtus Pro just look unbeatable. I claimed a while ago that they were too good. That teams that always get good in the spring never win TI. And I guess that could still happen. But I don't see anyone but, like, VP and LGD. Like, when it comes time to the... And we get the compendium and you have to pick who you think is going to win. Like, I think it's crazy for anyone to pick anything other than LGD or VP.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm still going to pick Liquid because...
Liquid. Oh, sure, yeah.
Because Liquid is baiting right now. But yeah, on a serious note, I think even LGD, I think just VP alone could be
the
top pick. And like you talked about the being strong in the spring, but VP, they weren't. Like, I think the role you just said falls to kind of Secret. They're the really strong start in the season, but now they're not as good anymore, I'd say. And VP was just dominant from start to finish. Which shows by the points they earned. They have like double the points of the next one in the Dota Pro Circuit.
Yeah, and speaking of Dota Pro Circuit,
wait, hold on. Before you guys review that, I have one note, just one note that I have to talk about, and I'm sure you can predict what I'm going to talk about. You guys are missing the biggest piece of news. PPD played Undying. He's back!
Oh my, when I watched that game, I wanted to tell you about that. He actually played so well, and they won, like, I remember one distinctive fight where he and only two of his cores were alive against four heroes of VP, and the double tombstone just wrecked them. Like, I saw a million zombies on my screen, and they couldn't do anything, so Undying may be viable for TI. I don't know.
Well, also, more good news for Undying. That was not the first game he was played in. He was played against Optic in their series against Fnatic. Fnatic picked him up. I forget who was playing him. But it was quite a strong showing for my dead zombie friend. Anyway, please, Jim, continue with the DPC points.
Oh, sure, yeah. So all the weird stuff that we predicted might happen in terms of like one team kind of running away with the DPC points, and then as they win more, it essentially removes DPC points from the pool for other teams, and then teams would switch out rosters and all. So like I said, a lot of interesting stuff will happen, and then you know, we could see how it all shakes out. The interesting stuff happened, but it turned out not to be interesting. So, you know, VP just keeps winning everything and removing points. And then the teams that were, like, top 8 months ago look like they're just going to be the ones that get in.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, no, I'm not sure, but I agree, though, now.
That kind of touches into the other news we're going to talk about in a second.
No, hold on. Maybe you guys can, you know, obviously correct me. Isn't the race at the bottom getting rather tight? I mean, isn't it going to come down to this last tournament to see who gets in?
Yeah, the thing is...
Kind of, but
not really, because it's a very unrealistic scenario. Because Optic have a good shot, but they're not attending as it stands right now. We're going to talk about that in a second. Maybe they're attending, but as it stands right now, they're not attending.
Okay.
EG just got disqualified, and Fnatic isn't attending either. So it's kind of not really that close, because realistically, Optic were the only ones who could beat VG.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
For that top 8 spot. But as it stands right now, they're not attending. So yesterday, I would have agreed completely with Jim. But now we're going to
Now there's a shot they get in, though. So please, tell us the drama.
Okay, do we want to go?
Yeah, sure. I just want to point out real quick. Okay. There is one team that can still earn DPC points. TNC, I believe, is attending the Super Major.
Mm-hmm.
And they, if they finish like first, maybe second. 675 times 5 is like, yeah, probably.
Yes.
If they finish first or second, I think they bump someone.
Yeah, if they so they get 1,500 points. So.
Well, that's actually, that's third, second, or first.
Yeah, so
provided they would the other have team to get first,
and
first,
somebody would have, like, I think VP or something would have to get second, so the overall points required are less. I don't know.
It's, no, no, it's those DPC, nah, those DPC points are per player. The DPC points displayed on Liquipedia are per player. So if you come in first in the Super Major, you actually get like 5,000 DPC points for your team.
That's nice.
What?
Yeah, Super Major has more points associated with it.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah.
Wait, so come on. Anything is possible, boys.
We're all TNC fans now.
I'm okay, so tell us about the drama, because if OpTic gets into this tournament, then, you know, something could happen.
True.
I'm just going to sum it up really quick. Yesterday, EG didn't really... they kicked Misery. They didn't really kick Fear. He just had a has a kid now, so he kind of retired from play for a while. So there are two open spots, and today it was announced that Fly and S4 from OG, I'm going to be transferring to EG, which means they're not eligible for DPC points anymore, but they're still gonna attend the Super Major. But of course, they have to go through the NA Open qualifiers. And now OG doesn't actually have a roster for the Super Major. They're not gonna get one, as it turns out. They said in their press release that they're definitely not gonna be attending the Super Major, which leaves an open direct invite slot. And normally, in those situations, if somebody from a normal slot, like from regional qualifier slot, drops out, they're just gonna invite the second place at those regionals. But because it was an invite slot, the Super Major can, they can, the guys at Super Major can, I think it's PGL who's organizing it, they can basically do what they want. And the way they handled the invites when they were sent out was the top 10 teams of the DPC at that time. At that time, OpTic wasn't actually in the top 10 of the DPC, but now they are 9th. Which means, theoretically, if the Super Major organizers would go by the old system, that the only logical choice would be to invite OpTic Gaming, because they're the next highest on the DPC points, were not already directly invited. And since there's an open slot from OG, it would make the most sense. But that's all speculation, because they can do whatever they want. They're not bound to how they handled the invites before.
Jim, yeah, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to, yeah, if they bring OpTic in, then everyone in NA will be an OpTic fan.
Yes.
You could also, oh, wow, you could also end up in one of those situations where... and like fans of European soccer will be quite familiar with this, where a team that cannot earn points anymore may be playing OpTic when OpTic can earn points. And if it's EG or VG Storm, they might want OpTic out of the North America qualifier.
So they throw the game.
Yeah.
They
could throw the game.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely, I mean, you'd think they would, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, theoretically, right? You'd think that the strategy would be to let OpTic win. Obviously, you know, they're competitors and they probably wouldn't. But, yeah, I mean, if you're in, like, the semifinals of this thing, if you're in, like, the lower bracket finals or wherever the sort of cutoff point between OpTic bumping VG Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Is, and your EG or your VG Storm, you probably want to let them win.
Yeah, makes sense. Also, this is the point where the VGJ naming theme falls apart, because 8th place right now is VGJ Thunder, and 10th place is VGJ Storm, and VGJ Storm are the NA team, and VGJ Thunder are the Chinese team, so if they get knocked out, it won't have an impact on the NA qualifiers.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Good point, good point. Like, the same, you know, parent yes. owns them, so it doesn't matter. You're not really losing anything. Mm-hmm.
So basically, I mean, it's different for VGJ Storm, because they probably want to help their brothers out, but EG would want to have Optic win. But if they actually yeah. do that, they would basically fucking over China just so they get a return out of it. So that's kind of unsportly behavior, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, it's horribly unsportsmanlike. But, you know, like, this is another debate to have probably another time. But, like, it's kind of on the organizers, I think, to avoid those situations. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can, like, if you set up the rules in such a way, I don't think you could fault the people who are playing by the rules to maximize their opportunities. Like, you know, it brings to mind Luis Suarez when he caught the ball against Ghana in the World Cup.
This is another sports deep cut.
Oh my God.
For folks.
I'm out.
I'll briefly.
You're German. How can you be out?
He doesn't like soccer. Okay. I'll just briefly recap. So the one rule in soccer for field players is that you can't use your hands. And this guy, his name's Luis Suarez. He plays for Uruguay. And it was a very big moment in the World Cup, whatever, whatever. And he broke that one rule. And he the ball was literally about to go in the net. And so he slapped it away with his hands. And Jim, not sure where you're going with that analogy, but continue, please. That's sure, what happened. Like,
okay. Yeah, so it was horribly unsportsmanlike. But he slapped it away with his hands. He immediately got thrown out of the game. And Uruguay ended up winning because the penalty kick didn't go in. And then Uruguay won the game. So, like, that was absolutely the right play in terms of maximizing Uruguay's chance to win. But people were horrified. Because it's something you're not supposed to do. And I think there's an old World Cup match many years ago where two teams, if they drew, they both would move on. And I think, you know, FIFA has addressed it later on. And they just, like, knocked the ball back and forth for 90 minutes for 0-0.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stupid stuff. Like, soccer's pretty notorious for match fixing and stuff, but neither here nor there.
Yeah, this kind of creates the incentive for potentially for someone to throw a game against Optic.
I agree. We'll see what happens, folks.
I also want to note, people, especially from EU, love to hate on EG, but without EG being so volatile and changing people, like, basically right before TI, imagine how boring the Super Major would be without the shakeup happening. Like, there would literally, like, the top 8 would already be set. Nothing could change, because the teams who have a chance, besides TNC, which is incredibly unlikely, wouldn't be intending. But just because of that shakeup, so many possibilities, like, open up, which is pretty hype in my opinion.
So, do we think that this is, like, the magic sauce for EG? Are they going to be better, or are they just going to continue to flame out here?
I feel like... I'm not sure. I think it's a good... Because of the roster change, S4 is going to stay on offlane, and Sumail is going to move back to mid, which I think is the right choice. I think Sumail is way... Like, especially in this meta, his playstyle is way too aggressive to actually have him on an offlane position. Because in the current meta, offlane is basically hope you don't die and hope you get some XP from the lane, which doesn't really suit his playstyle.
Yeah. Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I think Sumail is definitely better mid. So I think strategically it makes more sense. But, you know, I can't possibly predict what's going to happen, but I know I'll be there with a box of popcorn. So I can't wait to see what does happen.
I'm not sure if they're good, but it's extremely exciting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure if they're good, but it's extremely exciting. It's a perfect the subtitle for EG season.
Well,
also Optic going to, like, PPD tweeted, bags ready, still packed. like, I think 2 hours ago, but he deleted that tweet since, so we're still not sure if Optic is actually going, but if they are going, it would be the hypest shit ever. Like, I'm sure Sam would lose his shit if they actually go being a...
Well, I mean, me and Peter are old friends now, yeah. So of course.
It's true. Talk on Twitter all the time.
I have to support my boy. All right, so this week, instead of Hero of the Week, we got a very interesting question from a friend of the show, Two Flakes. So we're gonna kind of blow that out into the normal Hero of the Week spot. Two Flakes asks, if you had one hero to play for the rest of your Dota life, what would it be? Jim, we can start with you.
All right. We talked about this a little bit in the Discord, and I answered Nature's Prophet because I want to be good at Nature's Prophet. But I, you know, on further reflection, I think I would pick Rubick.
Oh.
Because every game could be so different for Rubick. I think it would give you the most variety. I think it has the highest ceiling in terms of, like, your own, like, highlight reel kind of stuff. And I think he's fun to play generally. And this is probably a way to just kind of avoid the question entirely by saying the hero that could be any other hero.
Right.
But I think I'd pick Rubick for those reasons. How about you, Sam?
Well, I was pretty sure you were going to go with Wyvern.
No, it's too easy. I mean, the game would just be too simple. That's just throw on the B-52s and pick Wyvern and just win.
That's right. For Arian, what about you?
So if we're assuming that it's like one ongoing Dota game, like what? For the rest of my life, then it would...
No. If you had to play for the rest of your Dota life. So one hero for the rest of your Dota life.
I was going to say Storm Spirit because I love playing Storm Spirit and just playing him in a 4 month long game would be amazing because I don't actually have to win because I'm a terrible Storm Spirit player. So if it's one ongoing game, I'd say Storm Spirit. But I will, like, if it's just one hero I'll have to spam for the rest of my life, it would definitely not be Storm Spirit because I don't want to lose for the rest of my life. Because I actually sometimes like to win at Dota. So I think it would be Puck. I'm really enjoying Puck recently. I like winning my lane and then just going around to the other lanes and killing people with Dream Call.
Wow. Oh, I wasn't expecting Puck from you.
Weren't expecting Puck?
No.
What did you expect, Sam?
Storm, actually. I was expecting you to pick Storm. That's what I thought you were going to do.
Huh.
For me, I know everybody's expecting me to say Undying, and that's probably my true answer, but that's a boring answer. So the answer I will give is Kunkka. That's because I would want to pick a hero that can be played in multiple roles, because I never want to feel out of place. So he can be played as a core and go mid and use your cleave, or you can be like a position 4 and just go around Xing people. And I'm pretty bad at his combo, and it would give me a lot of time to get better at that. So plus he has like a really cool model, and he has got a lot of good hats, and he's a pirate. So, well, maybe he's not. He's an admiral, but he fits with my handle pretty well.
Man.
So.
That's actually the most far-sighted answers out of all our answers.
it was really on point.
Thanks, folks. All right, let's move on to the normal noobs ask noobs. From, I always mispronounce our friend's name, Padriek?
Yeah, Padriek. It's Titus Andromedon.
Titus, hello. He wants to know what the best neutral creeps are to dominate. Jim, I know you've done some hard-hitting research on this, so I'll leave this.
Yeah, you bet.
The ball's in your court.
All right. I love Helm of the Dominator. It's super fun. There are a couple ones that I think are particularly good. Just, you know, things to keep in mind. The big purple satyr Has a 5.5 HP per second regen aura. So you just dominate him, you grab, just have him follow you, and you just can't die. Similarly, that's why you eat him with Doom, if you have the opportunity, because you just regen so much. The Frost Ogre, so from that camp that's like two orange ogres, one blue ogre, the blue one has an ice armor spell that is like super OP. It gives you like 7 or 8 armor and attacks against you are slowed. So you can just have him follow around and just cast ice armor on you and all your allies. And he has a ton of mana for some reason. Like it works for a long time. Later in the game, a really good one is the Alpha Wolf, which is the big wolf from the medium wolf camp. He has an aura that grants plus 30% damage to nearby heroes, which is the like base damage, like the damage from your stat, your key stat, not the plus damage. So the white damage, not the green damage. And then I have a sleeper pick too.
Okay, let's go.
All right, I bet this one is cool. I don't know if anyone's ever done it,
and it
might be really stupid. What?
How cool?
Ice cold?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I thought we were doing the thing.
All right. I'm ready.
So I'm going to do this when I get Wyvern. I'm going to rush Helm of the Dominator and grab this. Okay. The Hill Troll Priest, that goofy one from the little camp. Yeah, the one that heals his allies. It gives 30 HP per second if it casts the spell over and over again. Wow. And it has a mana aura. It's 1.5 mana per second in an aura. Damn. So I kind of feel like you could just like have him follow you in a push strat, and it would be unbelievable. Because he'd also have like 1,400 hit points because you used Helm of the Dominator.
Just a question. Can you put that on autocast? Because I know it has like a 0.5 second cooldown.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, because otherwise it would be annoying. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, that'd be crazy. It can be put on autocast. So yeah, it heals 15 HP every half second. Then he has that crazy mana aura. I bet it's really good. I've never seen anyone use it, so maybe it's just terrible, but
we'll see.
That's what I'm dying to use.
Yeah. We like neutral creeps.
Oh yeah.
Damn. Jim, I gotta say, you really know your stuff with those neutral creeps. Like,
yeah,
for me,
seriously,
I just killed them while playing co-op. So for me, it would be either the Alpha Wolf, because he gives you damage and a crit, which is amazing as Doom. And I think really underappreciated is the Ghost, like the from the medium? And I think it's a small camp. The small camp big Ghost that gives you 20% movement and 20 attack speed slow. Because the thing people don't realize with Helm of the Dominator is that you can take the small, weak creeps who have good abilities because they get a lot of HP through the way how Dominator works. So even if you take the weakest creep, it's gonna have 1.4k HP. So yeah, the Ghost with the 20% movement speed is really good for people like Lycan or something who doesn't like to be kited.
I think for me, in turn, going with the movement speed, there's a, you see pros do this sometimes, get the Satyr Banisher. He's one of the little friends in the Satyr camp. He's purple, he's got a staff, and he's got an active that is a move speed slow, and it slows for 50%, and that slow lasts for 5 seconds, which that's quite good. So depending, if you're playing like a, I don't know, what, like, even if you're playing like Lycan or something and you just need like a tiny bit of lockdown, it can be quite good. And then another classic is the good old Hellbear Smasher. He's that big red one, and he has the Swiftness aura, so it helps it gives you 15 attack speed to all. It's an aura, so it's like for all your creeps. So
I didn't know that.
That stacks. Yeah. It's pretty good with like Beastmaster. If you go Helm of the Dominator on Beastmaster, it can be fun. Lycan, again, it's definitely fun. Those are my 2 cents on that. All right, Arian, why don't you tell us the final question?
All right, yeah. My final question would be, what are your hobbies outside of Dota? Because I think, Sam, you're just a cool guy overall. You ride motorbikes and stuff. So I know about you, but I'd be interested in Jim's hobbies outside of Dota. I know some, but I think it's just an interesting question for the audience. Because, like, you get to know people on a more personal level.
All right, I'll go first. Outside of Dota, I coach a youth soccer team. The boys are U12 now. I started with them when they were like U8 or U9. So now they're like prepubescent. Well, they're, I don't know, man. They're like little teenagers. They're becoming young men. It's very strange to watch. I like soccer quite a bit. I play in my free time. I coach in my free time. What else do I do? I sometimes build things. As I mentioned, I tore out my bathroom, which I regret.
I bet.
We like home improvements. It's been quite some time now where I have no shower. I'm learning a lot, but it is also quite stressful. And I'll give you one more. What's one more thing that I do outside of Dota? I like to read. I read quite a bit, or I try to read quite a bit. Right now, I'm reading... I'm going to mispronounce this person's... the author's name, because I'm not good at reading. I just like reading. It's the series of books it's called The Fifth Season. Actually the series is called The Broken Earth, and the first book is called The Fifth Season. That's by N.K. Jemisin. So yeah, good old fashioned fantasy sci-fi. This series won a bunch of Hugo Awards, which is awesome. Quite recent as well. I believe they came out in 2015, 2016, and 2017. Yeah, I really like reading quite a bit. And I think that's all I'm going to share for now. I don't know how well I did with that segment, but that's what I got.
I read it 10 out of 10, and I asked the question, so I got to know.
Go ahead, Jim, please tell us.
Sure. Yeah. I love how Arian framed the question as, well, Sam, I know you're really cool. You're a really cool guy, but what about Jim?
Oh no.
I wasn't like that.
I wasn't like
never
that.
That. You have kids. That's like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Being a dad must be awesome.
Yeah. I guess that's my hobby, for the most part. They take up a lot of time, but they're fun. We play. My kids do sports, so I shuffle them around, then I kick around the soccer ball with the older one, play basketball. I'm also involved in my community. So I serve on the Board of Education, which in the United States is an organization that sort of oversees the public schools in a municipality. So it's a volunteer thing. I go, we just sit around in meetings and read stuff. It's not, you know, it's like really not exciting in any way. I'm not strong or brave, so I can't be a policeman or a firefighter. I think I'm okay at like reading things and crafting policy documents. So I found like the only way I can give back to my community with that expertise.
How can you say you're not strong or brave when you're going to climb a mountain too?
Well, yeah, we will find out in 2 weeks.
Wait, you're going in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Oh. Fuck
yeah, June 9th, 10th, going up with my cousin. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, well.
Oh my god. Well, okay, so does that count as another hobby? Is that you can climb mountains?
Yeah, I think that counts as a hobby. Because he also prepares for it. So the preparation is a hobby.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You walk around a lot, do really annoying exercises. Like lots of step ups. But that's it. How about you, Arian?
I'm really into longboarding, but it's it's a summer sport kind of. Right now it's amazing. I can just go everywhere with my longboard. But yeah, I'm into longboarding. I play the trumpet. I lift, but Sam does that too, and he doesn't have it listed as a hobby, so I guess that doesn't count. Like
what? No, that does. I just forgot because I'm. Yes, of course. It's something you spend time doing.
Yeah, so I lift.
Yeah,
and I'm not a very social person, but my friends just force me to spend time with them all the time, so I guess that counts. You wanted to say something?
I was very excited that you longboard and that you play the trumpet.
Yeah. Yeah, so I longboard. I got my first longboard when I was like 15, 14 or something. And I'm just into it ever since. Also, guys, longboarding isn't as cool as skateboarding. Because skateboarding is the thing that actually requires skill. Longboarding is just you need to get somewhere.
It all requires skill. I would definitely hurt myself. Yeah. How long have you been playing the trumpet?
I think since I'm 12. I'm almost 18 now, so that would be 6 years.
Yeah.
I practiced for a long time, and now I go to concerts occasionally and play there. And that's some preparation involved there.
Good, so you can add to our lovely intro music. Maybe you can do the outro music.
What? Okay, I think you're severely overestimating my level of trumpet playing.
Oh, please, it'll be great. It's a podcast by the noobs for the noobs. You fit right in.
It's going to be really terrible, but I guess we can make a meme out of it.
No, it'll be great, and Brian plays the guitar, nice. So it's going to be great. I have no musical talent, so I'm going to not help. I'll just make you do it. Oh, man. Well, thank you for that question, Arian. I had fun answering it. Shall we conclude, boys?
Sure.
Let's go.
Jim, what do we have to plug?
Normally, I don't plug anything because I don't do a lot of, you know, Twitter and all that stuff. I just say come out on Theme Thursday. But this week, I do want to give... a little bit of a shout out to Desolades, which is a group of women Dota players that, you know, kind of set up an organization in a community of their own. And they have a list of theme drafts. So we were talking about DotaTheme.com and Theme Thursdays, and we started talking to them, and they shared their list with us. And there were a couple good ones that I hadn't heard of before. So we added them to Dota Theme. We reached out to them. We shared Dota Theme with them, and it's pretty cool. It's neat that like different groups kind of came up with the same idea, and there was so much overlap. It was neat to see that too. But they had some good ideas that like popped collars. You can make a whole lineup of players with popped with heroes with popped collars. So that's pretty cool. I just want to rep Desolades a little bit. Maybe we'll see some of them in Theme Thursday at some point too.
Didn't even know.
Yeah.
Dota theme drafts were a thing outside of Theme Thursdays, but apparently they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
Shouts again to everybody who worked on DotaTheme.com.
Yeah,
shout out to Lihu. You folks are seriously the best. Yeah, Lihu, always just a mover and shaker behind the scenes, making stuff happen. I love it. Other things to plug, obviously, is that we will be live in Philly later in the month, June 24th. Come hang out. Till then. Bye-bye, everyone.
See ya.
All right, bye-bye.